Hi, I'm Katie, and I'm the Internal Communications Specialist at Oyster HR, a global employment platform that helps companies everywhere hire talent anywhere. I've spent my career at the intersection of online spaces and employee culture. I'm passionate about building digital communities for people who are more than their jobs, and I am convinced that the companies who also understand this are the ones who will lead the future of work. That's why for this mini season of New World of Work, we are diving into global employment stories and how leaders built, grew, and nurtured their distributed workplace communities. We'll be exploring why and how companies are leveraging global employment and hear from the people and companies who are making the strategic decisions and moving the needle. We'll hear from some of the world's best and brightest. We'll cover cutting-edge topics in business, people, and culture that forward-thinking companies need to hear, all through a global lens. Join us as we navigate this new world of work together and learn more about each other along the way. Since 2013, Webflow has been a pioneer in leveraging a globally distributed workforce. Today, less than 8% of their employees work in person at an office. My guest today, Mike Podobnik, is Vice President of People at Webflow, where he oversees their distributed community of people. Mike and I had a fantastic conversation about leadership across time zones, the challenges and opportunities faced by leaders of distributed workforces, the future of global hiring, and how Webflow is creating community and connection across borders.
My name is Mike Podobnik. I'm the Vice President of People at Webflow. My experience has generally been large company to small company. I started my career in university recruiting in a large public scaled environment. And as I took on new roles throughout the people function, started traveling, working with global teams, I got really curious about what else was out there, particularly different stages of companies. And I felt like the best way to do that was to try it firsthand. So I put my giant dog in the car and house on the market, and I moved down to the Bay Area to jump into a hypergrowth startup. It was the hardest thing that I've ever done. But it was also the most fun that I'd had in years. And that is generally where I've focused my career from that point. It's messy, it's chaotic, everything is on fire, but it's also ripe for opportunity and impact, and that fun persists.
I really respect the adventurousness that I hear in that. I went from startups to big company to startups, so it's funny to hear the opposite, where you were like, I'm going to choose the more adventurous path.
Yeah, very much. But the pace just totally shifts. So it's been a lot of fun.
And it's hooked you, it sounds like.
It has. It's the most humbling thing that I've ever done. But I would say that rate of learning just accelerates to a totally different degree. And so if that's something you really enjoy, the really fun stage of growth to operate in.
Related to that, if you had to distill it down to that brief elevator pitch, what's that personal overarching career mission that you have?
So overarching career mission, for me, really comes down to how do we architect meaningful, equitable experiences for employees and teams? I focus on how we operationalize values and behaviors and norms, and how we accelerate our impact for our business and customers. At the end of the day, the people and the talent really underpin the business and the growth strategy. And so our job in the people function is to enable that outcome.
I love that. Now I'm dying to know, what are some of the workplace challenges that you are focused on solving through that kind of work?
Of late, I'd suggest there are three big workplace challenges that our team is focused on. And this is unique to Webflow. First is how we increase the talent density, how we attract, how we motivate, how we retain top talent that really fuels our mission. Second is how we instill infrastructure to scale, particularly across a global footprint. The tools, the systems, the processes, they really break down in a high growth environment. And so we have to continually iterate and focus on that continuous improvement. And the last is how we cultivate culture, and particularly in a remote first organization.
Over the course of your career, I have noticed that you've helped scale teams across borders. So how have you seen global employment and talent acquisition as a whole evolve during your time working in this space?
I love this question. And I think there's absolutely been a pretty healthy amount of evolution to global employment and talent acquisition across time zones. From my own experience, I think it's moved from very much an afterthought to front and center in our talent strategy. And early on, back when I was in university recruiting, my very first job, we focused on concentrating employees in brick and mortar headquarters and satellite offices. We spent millions of dollars relocating talent to be closer in proximity to our headquarters. But at a different stage of growth, that talent strategy just didn't work. we were in a fight for talent, trying to grow fast, lacking the same level of resources and that required a healthy amount of ingenuity and creativity to compete on a global stage. We had to be scrappy and creative, and that opened up and unlocked a whole lot of opportunity. I'd say when I look at a global stage, the pandemic definitely accelerated that experiment. And so I think some companies have thrived to really lean into global employment and global talent strategies, and others have reverted back. But diverse talent pools, flexible nature of remote first work, aligning our talent strategy with an increasingly global and distributed audience, I think all of that becomes just a huge asset when we think about how and where companies grow.
It's such an interesting time in the market as well. There's a huge candidate pool right now in 2024. It's started over the last year and a half. And so I really think it's such an interesting time to and meaningful time to really be looking at a global hiring strategy. So in your experience, are companies thinking more about global employment as a business and growth strategy in a way that you agree with?
That's a great question. I would suggest yes, absolutely. I think most companies are looking at global employment as a viable strategy that goes right along with business and growth strategy. And I think the success and growth of companies like Oyster is really a testament to that. Startup or private stage companies have to focus, I would say, much more than public or scaled companies. And like I mentioned, the pandemic really amplified that focus on distributed teams. Some companies have embraced it. But I think the really key point here is that when we look at global employment or a global talent strategy, you have to operate with the same level of intention as a business or a growth strategy. It takes trust and connection, communication and alignment, enablement and engagement, measurable outcomes. It can't be an afterthought.
I resonate with what you're saying. At Oyster, we use Slack as our internal communication platform, and we actually have a Slack channel, Oyster Jobs. And it's not just a check the channel to see when a new role was posted. I've heard one of our people leaders talk about, we really want to communicate that growing talent here is a shared effort, because I think our people leaders really believe that Oysters, people who are employed by Oyster, also know the best talent, and they also are distributed globally. And who better to bring in excellent talent than the excellent talent that already works at the company? So I'm curious, how do you as a people leader approach this at Webflow about communicating the rest of the company's role in growing talent?
I think first and foremost, and again, particularly at the stage of growth, when you look at a fast-growing company like Webflow or a fast-growing company like Oyster, you can't do it alone. It really is onus of everyone to help power that growth forward. And research backs that great people know great people. It's fun to be able to grow a company, tackle a really difficult, ambiguous challenge with friends and people you trust. And so when you bring them together through that, it produces something super special. So I think when you look at a company like Webflow, we have a great opportunity for partnership with a high performing recruiting team, but it really takes everyone in the company to push this forward. We think about growth and growth across a global stage.
And I feel like you're also speaking to the extrinsic versus intrinsic value, right? I've seen this at a lot of big companies. They really focus on the referral program and what's the structure for that. But something I've noticed with really ambitious, high growth, mission-oriented companies, that intrinsic value of bringing in great talent really drives the referral process more than a referral bonus. Have you seen that at Webflow?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can think explicitly of a past company that I worked for where we interviewed for intrinsic motivation as part of the hiring process. I focus on what really like fires you up and brings you together. It does produce different outcomes and results when you think about intrinsic versus extrinsic. Extrinsic is part of it, but it can't be the sole part of why everyone comes together.
Yes, absolutely agree. So pivoting a little bit, what percent of Webflow employees work remotely and globally?
Well, Webflow has been remote first since inception, and we've been super fortunate to grow up in that lens or that talent strategy. So today, less than 8% of our population, or about 50 people, work out of an office. And the remaining 92%, almost 600, operate remotely. We're predominantly focused in the US, so 85% of our population is here in the United States. But we operate across 18 countries around the world, and we have incredible team members in places like Canada, Ireland, Finland, Kenya, New Zealand, and more. And so it really is pretty exciting to be able to see how we've grown from a remote first strategy.
It sounds very similar to Oyster's spread. We're somewhere between 500 and 600 employees across 50 to 60 countries. And something that I'd love to hear about that I'm thinking through too is, do you have any guiding principles or cultural practices at Webflow that make that connection and collaboration easier in that distributed environment? I'm going to be taking notes.
I appreciate that. So I think guiding principles on how you think about cultural practices and connection and collaboration are all really integral to our success when you're operating remotely. They are when you're face-to-face, but I think it's even more paramount when you don't see one another on a daily basis in person. We focus on core behaviors and rituals and norms. And for us, core behaviors is really values in action. It's how we think about bringing these to life every day and how we think about this as the guiding principles in the decisions that we make. We have four. And so we focus on obsess over customer experience, move with heartfelt urgency, say the hard thing with care, and make your mark. It really does define how we operate as a team, as individuals when we come together. With rituals and operating norms, this is really how we focus on scaling culture and aligning our people. We iterate them and evolve them as we grow, as we get bigger, as we take on new countries and new time zones. But we make a heavy investment in onboarding practices, instilling great opportunities to jumpstart that path to productivity and ensuring strong mission alignment for our new team members. We look at Webflow all team meetings. We call them Webflows Together. Really where we align, we celebrate, and we share. We're big believers of transparent QBRs, quarterly business results, where we talk very openly about financial health of the company, our key results against company objectives. And we've really leaned into the idea of transparent Q&A through town halls. We have open, real conversations and address things that are top of mind for employees across the organization, both around the world and across really every level, executive team, all the way down to our earliest in career.
I was like snapping in agreement with the behaviors and rituals, the way that you broke that as two pieces. I know that the people listening who have a background in learning design or have a background in community building are cheering as they're listening, because in my opinion, I'm biased because I have a background in community building and now I work in internal employee community building. When you have a remote distributed team, it really models a community. And looking at behaviors and then finding ways to create rituals, those are paramount to community building. I love the movement of throwing away the phrase of we're a family. We're not a family. We're coworkers, but we are a community. And you just really highlighted the necessity of listening, but also modeling. And the point about onboarding, I know that my coworker Gemma is going to be thrilled to hear this in the episode, because that is the easiest way to have an employee feel a part of the culture of a company and the community of a company, is to integrate them in a way that makes sense to understand the role and understand their place in the company. And so they can start contributing to those listening sessions and hearing their feedback. I know I'm giving you a lot of praise, but I'm just really thrilled to hear another company thinking about it from a community perspective.
It's a really important thing. And if you think about being new to an organization, how you really document and share your rituals, your operating norms, really sets the right tone. It's a difficult feeling to be new and to not know how to operate. And if that isn't something that is easily accessible or available to team members as they come in, you're doing the very best you can and hope you get it right. And we've got a great opportunity through onboarding to really short circuit that a little bit and put people on a path to success to a much different degree.
As a leader who is passionate about building community, I loved hearing about the rituals and norms at Webflow. As Mike said, sharing the tools for successful onboarding and setting the right tone and expectations from the start puts people on the path to success, especially on global teams. I also really appreciated Mike's insight that Webflow shares the financial health of the company and quarterly results with employees. I think especially in remote and digital settings, it provides employees the opportunity to feel a part of the larger community. I wanted to dive into how Webflow has used global hiring to drive success, as well as the strategies they use to build community and empower leaders across borders and time zones. So you shared earlier that Webflow was an early adopter and advocate of distributed teams and global employment. So I'd love if you shared how being a globally distributed company has contributed to the overall success and growth of the company.
I think continuing the theme or pulling the thread through of community, it's squarely aligned. global employment has been integral to our success. At the company, over time, Webflow has stacked up well over 200,000 customers operating in over 200 countries around the world. And so global team members reflect that same level of diverse nature and makeup of our community has just been an asset. We have incredibly talented team members in the same locations that we have our customers and community members across EMEA, APAC, LATAM, North America. Some of our earliest employees sit outside of the United States in locations like Finland and Poland, the UK and Australia. And so I think what's been really special and again, a huge asset for us there as we've grown is those diverse ideas, perspectives, and impact have helped Webflow thrive. We know that research backs that diverse teams perform better. And so our diverse global team has really helped power Webflow's success. We'll continue to invest in distributed employees and a large global footprint as a result.
I love that, especially because what you're describing, the diversity of your team allows for diversity of customers. So your team members based in certain countries can relate to customers in those certain countries.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when looking at highly distributed teams, what, in your opinion, are some of the unique challenges and opportunities that you specifically think about as a people leader?
As a people leader, I think focusing on the challenges and the opportunity up front of distributed teams is incredibly important. This is the point that I typically joke that recruiting is actually the easy part, right? And recruiting is super tough. But how you enable, align, and engage a global team is complex. And again, it requires a ton of intention. From a challenge perspective, how you build connection and relationships, how you balance synchronous versus asynchronous communication and work, and how you maintain alignment and shared direction when crossing time zones, all requires deliberate effort. But there are huge opportunities when we think about distributed teams. They enable acceleration of talent strategy. You get to tap in and access to diverse talent pools that might otherwise be unavailable. We get to engage caregivers, neurodiverse populations, high-caliber talent who live on a farm in Iowa instead of the middle of San Francisco. All of that becomes really key when we think about how and where you grow. There's an anecdote that I like to talk about a lot when I think earlier in my career. In a past company, we observed that one of our distributed development centers really started struggling. We saw lower engagement, lower results, lower performance across the board, and it really begged the question to investigate and understand the why behind it. And as we dug in, we saw there were a large number of areas that were necessary for success that were missing. We'd recruited great talent, but we really hadn't set them up for success. We were missing leadership voice, career pathing, embedded managers, local rituals and customs, and a sense of pride for those team members to really be able to celebrate. And that really became our job, behooved us to think about how we enable them for success. What was amazing is out of that effort, we ended up with the most engaged and highest performing team throughout the company. It was a super special experience in a place that allowed us to grow even faster when we hit that right recipe for success. It wasn't just about the recruiting. It was how do we set them up for the long term and really enable impact, outcome, and voice together. And so it really underscored the need to be deliberate when we focus and not leave design to chance.
That's so important. Something that I hear people talk about is acquisition and retention, but engagement is to what you were saying. It can be to chance or an afterthought, or it's an addition to someone's existing role. But being strategic about engagement moves the needle on those other numbers, acquisition and retention. But engagement also, that's where you see the results. When you see engagement move up, many times you see revenue move because people are engaged in their roles. And it's also the good person thing to do. You want your employees to feel a part of the company and a part of the mission and also a part of making a difference from a business standpoint as well. When they feel connected to their role and connected to their employees, that's when that engagement happens.
You find that mission-driven, purpose-driven aspect, and that unlocks something totally.
And I would love if you shared a little bit more about synchronous versus asynchronous. I'm asking this because we do this here at Oyster, and I've worked remotely before I came to Oyster, but synchronous and asynchronous, the difference between those two was new for me. And I think a lot of listeners are curious about this too. So can you explain the difference and tell us what Webflow does?
Absolutely. Well, I think there are definitely benefits to asynchronous and synchronous when you're in highly distributed teams working across time zones. It may be the middle of the night or the weekend, right? For some employees where others are online and working through normal business hours. And so I think that balance of understanding where do we get value in really bringing everyone together in a synchronous fashion, sharing relevant updates and information, creating opportunities for engagement and collaboration? And where are you passing information along that doesn't necessarily need to be consumed in the moment is where you can tip over to asynchronous. Webflow, we've had a long history. We've been around for 10 years. And so we've had a lot of opportunity for trial and error, but we're still learning from others who might be further along in the journey or in their own experience. And so I think we'll continue to look to best practices of organizations like Atlassian and GitLab and Zapier in new learnings and new research that comes out in how their employees are thriving. We look at that balance then of synchronous, asynchronous on how can we continually iterate and improve and ensure we're testing the boundaries of what needs to be synchronous, what needs to be asynchronous, and how do we blend between the two.
That's so great. And something that I think about when it comes to synchronous and asynchronous, and tell me if you agree, I think it's important for the culture setting around synchronous and asynchronous to come from the top down and leadership to really communicate the value and the expectation, because what you were saying with engagement, when you leave it up to chance, it can look very differently across the company. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. I think role modeling and, again, going back to rituals and operating norms frames how you operate as a team and what becomes that balance of synchronous versus asynchronous. I collectively agree that we've got lots of meetings, and meetings are really hard when you're operating remotely and sitting in front of a screen or on Zoom the entirety of your workday. So that balance of how do we structure time for deep flow state in work, and how do we think about communication and availability of information needed to operate? And again, goes back to the deliberate and intentional focus on how you design.
I love that. Also, an aside thought that I think about when it comes to synchronous and asynchronous is leaning into asynchronous. It really increases equitability. We all live a variety of lives and have a variety of identities. And I found that the people on my team who are parents really appreciate the ability to meet asynchronously, or folks who live with disabilities, being able to lean into a different working style really makes the experience more equitable for everyone, I have found.
100%. And I think that as a working parent, it's something that's been incredibly helpful. It allows me the flexibility to balance and prioritize for different point across my life and at different times. Gives me the ability to duck out in the middle of the day and make sure that I can be there and present for my daughter's recital at school, while also ensuring that the team is able to move forward and I'm tracking progress along the way. And so that kind of embrace of flexibility and the balance both really, again, becomes a huge asset in how we operate. It takes a lot of, again, intention and a lot of experimentation along the way. And at Webflow, I don't think we're perfect. We've got lots of opportunity to continue to hone and iterate as we go. And that's a big focus for us this year.
Same. We are always dialing this in at Oyster as well, but I think it's the commitment to figuring it out that speaks a lot. So when it comes to executing on a global talent acquisition strategy, what strategic considerations do you think leaders need to take into account?
When operating on a global talent acquisition strategy, I think you need to go into this eyes wide open as a people leader. There are practical differences to be aware of when recruiting around the world. And that goes beyond things like value drivers and motivators and how those might change across a region or a country or a location. There are important realizations to consider when you look at things like employment law or regulatory differences, statutory benefits, contribution and leave of absence requirements. And it's critical to consider that enablement, inclusivity, and infrastructure needed to support team members as they come into the organization. Not all of these are surmountable, but you need to think deliberately and intentionally in order to really recognize the value and the asset of a global team. I think the reality is one of the things that we can acknowledge at Webflow is we've learned a lot along the way. We started as a remote first organization and a highly distributed team, but we lucked into that. And so learning more effectively about how we set our team members up for success, how we operate in different countries and regions, the regulatory requirements we need to be cognizant of, it's a steep learning curve. And so we really relied on partners and experts to help educate in areas that we didn't have insight to make sure that we're doing right by our employees and operating appropriately and compliantly as we grow a global team.
Thanks for being some of the trailblazers and figuring this out. I think you said Webflow's been around for 10 years. You guys were early adopters. And so thankfully now, to people listening who are interested in this as a strategy at their company, there are a lot of tools and resources that exist now that you all are probably having to figure out along the way. So tell us, does Webflow have any programs or traditions that highlights that geographical diversity of the team?
Yeah, we have a number of programs and traditions that enable us to highlight and embrace the geographic diversity of our teams, and they're ever expanding. We really focus on how we gather and how we build a connected culture. Some of this happens asynchronously, and some of it happens synchronously and in person. Remote first for Webflow really doesn't mean remote only. And so we invest in bringing team members together. We build in dedicated budget to focus on connection at a company, a department, and a team level. And we create opportunities and meaningful ones to bring people together. We have a company level retreat. We have team level offsites, events and celebrations, department and company level hackathons. Right now, we're in the middle of preparing to bring the whole company together in the spring in Quebec City, Montreal. Super exciting opportunity. We're taking over a castle, a really fun special location, but it's a great chance for us to really align around our strategy for the year, focus and spotlight on product advancements, hear directly from our customers, celebrate our team members as we come together.
I love what you said, that remote first does not mean remote only.
Mm-hmm. We're still humans.
Yes. And we all have varying desires of in-person versus virtual. It really sounds like Webflow tries to take a look at that spread and meet the needs of virtual versus in-person. Is there anything that is part of the rituals at Webflow related to online community connection? Do you have Slack channels? Do you have virtual co-working? What do you personally try to engage in as a people leader?
We've got a number of things in how we lean into flexibility and support our team members and meet them where they are. So to your point, we have team members that come into our San Francisco headquarters. Some of those jobs require attendance. And if I use an example, we've got an incredibly high quality education team that produces Webflow University videos. That's in a high production studio. And that's really hard to do from home. But we have other team members that like to drop in 1, 2, 3 days a week, or in some cases, only occasionally. It's really up to them. Where we have large concentrations of talent, I'm located in Seattle. We've got a whole host of team members around the greater Seattle area. We have folks that come together and meet at local co-working spaces like WeWork or a local coffee shop. And then again, we really carve out and dedicated a pretty significant amount of budget to bring our teams together at various altitudes or different degrees at different points throughout the year. So company level retreats, department offsites, team-based offsites. We really look at hitting various levels of engagement in different ways.
Love that. So what tactics are used at Webflow to foster that community and culture across borders and time zones? Are there any highlights you're particularly proud of?
We definitely focus on tactics and programs that help us foster community and culture across borders. And I've talked about a few of those, especially in how we think about gathering. But I think one that really comes across that's super special to Webflow is what we frame as affinity groups. In some companies, you might hear these framed as employee resource groups or ERGs. We have 6 distinct communities across Webflow that support our team members across different diverse dimensions and intersections. These are employee-led, they're executive-sponsored, and they engage those who identify as a community member, as well as allies at the company. And the impact is incredibly far-reaching. Everything that touches community and culture, from critical topics, resource development, education and speakers, product roadmap interventions, employee experience improvements. This month, in honor of Black History Month, we're partnering with Blackflow, our AG. We'll be exploring Black art and going through a virtual tour of artists who tackle the concepts of race and identity. And so it's incredibly meaningful when we build connection and community across the organization. A partnership with our affinity groups has been just amazing to see realized and the impact increase over time.
Great. And finally, this is a question we ask all guests on New World of Work. What's the best mistake you've ever made and why?
The best mistake I've ever made and why? I've been reflecting on this a lot lately. And as I think back on my career, I have been the benefactor of some incredible managers and mentors and sponsors. They've helped unlock opportunity, pushed me into new and different avenues and arenas. But when I really step back, I've been watching a lot of my early managers and mentors retire or hit the give back phase of their career. And I'm not sure I took full advantage of how I learned from them. I was pretty ambitious, really pushed hard early in my career. And I think that I missed some opportunities when I had the chance to really be a sponge and soak up more learnings along the way. it pushed me to try to reconnect with some of those early managers and mentors. And as they hit that give back stage in their career or that point of retirement, to really look at how can I learn more at a different stage and state from their own careers.
What a great answer. It's interesting that the more we mature, the more we age, the more we realize that we have a lot to learn. So I think you're speaking to just a universal human truth. And I appreciate the reminder today.
Yeah, it was fun to think through and really go back through my own career journey and consider who's been incredibly impactful, who pushed me in new ways, who challenged me in different degrees, and who asked me hard, thoughtful questions. How can I get more of that? And so it's been a nice reminder when I look at who I get to work alongside and the peers that I work with, that there's huge opportunities for learning. Again, I'll go back to the stage of growth that I'm in right now and companies like Webflow and Oyster get to play in. There's just so much learning that happens. And if that's something that you really like, then just take advantage.
It was great to have Mike on New World of Work, and I really enjoyed hearing his insights around this topic. It is so timely to have these conversations to empower leaders of globally distributed workforces. Here are my main takeaways from the episode. Set expectations. Mike emphasizes the importance of having guiding principles on how an organization implements culture and connection, especially when you're not face-to-face. Webflow and its employees are guided by its core behaviors to ensure everyone is on the same page. Foster community across borders. I loved hearing about Webflow's affinity groups and how they allow people from different teams and regions to connect. I also really love that they empower their employees with the tools that they need to be successful at the company. Flexibility is key. Mike says that Webflow offers solutions to meet employees where they are. Some employees meet up at communal workplaces, while others prefer to stay at home. Whatever their preference, they can find support. Thanks for listening to New World of Work, the podcast exploring the new frontier of the modern workforce through an international lens. We hope this episode served to expand your horizons and open your mind to a new perspective. If you're looking to connect with other folks who care about these same topics, consider joining Oyster's free People Builders community. It's a unique and exclusive online community for people and culture professionals, culture and change agents, managers of all kinds, and leaders and executives to find those connections, answers, and tools that they need to navigate this complex world of remote and distributed work. Check out the link in the description to join, and we'll see you in there. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show if you enjoyed this episode. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we'd love if you leave a review. I'm your host, Katie McCauley. See you next time.